So how's everybody doing this morning?
Awesome.
Awesome. It is a blessed Sunday. It's awesome to be here.
In the presence of God.
In the presence of God.
Amen.
Amen. Ralph up front. All right. So, as we go into this morning, we're going to talk about expression and projection. It is an awesome thing because even Gloria just stated the same thing up here. Amazing, right? That's confirmation. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read you two definitions. Expression, the process of making known one's thoughts or feelings. Projection, the presentation or promotion of someone or something in a particular way. Now, things are getting pretty crazy out there, are they not? I have just understood that California has instituted the statute that you cannot praise and worship inside church. And I actually text my brother from our church out there, and he said, we're going to praise and worship. Glory be to God. So we're going to start off like this. Whatever you obey is going to become your master. The Bible tells you that. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to John 4. This is where we're going to start at today. So John 4, verses 4 through 26. Now, obviously Jesus had learned, Pharisees have learned that Jesus is baptizing more and more people's disciples. So he decided to leave Judea, went to Galilee. Okay, now verse 4 states, it says, now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Now his disciples had already went into town to buy food. Now, the first thing that he does is he shatters the tradition of men and he breaks the projection that is put on her. And he's breaking it by talking to her. At that time, a rabbi would not even talk to a woman in public. Wouldn't even talk to his own wife. That's by tradition. Let alone a Jew would never talk to a Samaritan. So he shattered it right off the bat. As soon as he seen her, will you give me a drink? Whatever projections that were in that time in her, on her, he's coming in right now to shatter it. Those are the projections that we have of people. Those are the projections that people put on us. Those are projections we have of ourselves. When you walk into this place, Jesus is coming in and he's going to shatter those projections. Because he wants you to know who you are in him. Now verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? So instead of meeting him halfway, and beginning to talk, she projects exactly what she knows. Even though he's already trying to break it, she's still holding on to it. That's a lot of life that we do. We do our best to hold on to things that Jesus is trying to break. When people call you something, you hold on to that instead of breaking what Jesus has called you to be. Those things we need to let go of. We need to understand that Jesus has called us to be something else and not what people have called us. Amen? So verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would give you living water. Okay, here we go. Jesus expressed, hey, I'm knocking. I'm trying to break this down. Here we go. I'm trying to break whatever you think. Whatever's been told to you, I'm letting you know right now I'm breaking it. Here we go. All he needs is a little step in. All he needs, he's waiting for it. He's expressing, I'm going to give, I want living water. I want you to be that living water. She says, sir, in verse 11, the woman said, you have nothing to draw the well, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and also his sons and his cattle? She is projecting again what they believe. She's trying to tell him, hey, these are the people that we hold high. These are the people that we hold high right now. And he's expressing, he's trying to break that. He doesn't want her there. He's trying to get inside of her mind. We're here to break the projections. What is being projected today? COVID-19 is being projected on you. Fear is being projected on you. And we cannot accept that. We must reject it. Did God give us a spirit of fear? No, he did not. He says, be strong and of good courage. So I ask you again, has God given us a spirit of fear? No. Absolutely not. So Jesus said in 13, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He's given her an opportunity. He's breaking the projection right now, and he's going to give her the opportunity. I want you to be a well. I want you to be a well. My glory, my purpose. I want you to give out that living water. And that's each one of us. He's trying to break the projection that some of us have of ourselves, because he wants you to bring that spring. He wants you to be that spring bringing forth that living water. When you go out and evangelize, when you go to pray with people, you're bringing forth that living water. That's what he wants to do. So now, verse 15, the woman asked him, sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Guess what? She just gave him a doorway in. When someone is going to break a projection of who they think they are and what people tell them to be, they come to this altar. They say, Jesus, I want this living water. They're going to come right here. This is the doorway Jesus needs. They haven't confessed it yet, but this right here is where they need to come. He told her, go call your husband and come back. She said, I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Guess what? Not only did she give him the doorstep in, but he just completely broke everything she thought. When you walk up here and you come to the altar and you begin to say, God, I want to be that well, guess what? He's going to break every thought you've ever had of yourself and what people think about you. You know, when I was in school at a younger age, I acted like, I didn't act the best. But the thing was, is when teachers begin to treat you as such, as though you're a waste of time, as you're never going to amount to nothing. And let me tell you something, I believed that, and I carried that. And when I found God, that broke. I began to go to school. I graduated. Last year I was here at Restoration Fellowship, and I graduated with an associate's degree by God's grace. And it's because I didn't take that projection, what they projected onto me. I didn't take that. God broke that, and I knew who I was in him. You are blessed. You are above, not below. You are the head, not the tail. Amen? And it's not only me. This is everybody. This is everybody in here. This is everybody watching on Facebook. You are not what the world has called you to be. You are what God has called you to be. And I want you right now to realize that. It's be who is God has called you to be. Now, the woman said in 19, she says, sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mount nor Jerusalem. The Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and truth. So not only are you able to break and he's going to change your mind, but you're going to raise a standard. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the Lord raises a standard against him. So get ready as you change your mind right now. Those of you in here and on Facebook, because as you change your mind and you begin to be who God has called you to be, the standard is being raised up. When fear comes in, this COVID-19, and they begin to tell you wear a mask, you can only be 6 feet within each other. Respect it, but understand that God is raising the standard against it, and that fear cannot be projected onto you. It's crazy. It really, really is, because every time they come out with new things, new guidelines, it's always something that tends to try to make you more fearful. The statue in California, they try to make you more fearful. Let me tell you, the world hates that it cannot influence Christians. Amen. It hates it because they cannot project fear onto you. They cannot project that, so they cannot influence you. The greatest thing that you can do is people say, the coolest thing that you can do is influence people. But the best thing you do is not be influenced by people at all. You can be influenced by God. Whatever God says, when somebody asks you a question, well, what does the Bible say about that? If you give your personal opinion, you're just projecting an opinion. And they, in turn, can come back and project theirs. But if you give them what God has expressed in his word, they can project all they want to, because all you have to say is, that's what God says. That's not what I say. That's what God says. And when people ask you, well, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? Well, you're not staying at home. God has not given me a spirit of fear. He told me to be courageous, be strong. And that's exactly what you need to walk out there to. When God said, come into my presence, he said, come into my presence bold. He didn't say, come into it with timidity. He didn't say, be afraid when you come into my presence. He says, come into my presence boldly. And that's how we should approach anything we will walk into. Because nothing is greater than God. If God says, come into my presence boldly, how much more should we approach any situation in this life? How much more should we approach any situation? Because neither one of these situations and neither one of these people that come against us are God. So you cannot fear them. If you were to be bold in God's presence, as I said, God has raised the standard. So now you are the standard against those that come against you in fear. Let's go to Mark 10. Mark 10, verse 46. Mark 10, verse 46. A lot of us hear the story of blind Bartimaeus. We heard this story time and time again. Now, 46, verse 46 says, now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho, his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, blind Bartimaeus was sitting almost either outside the town or at the gate at a spot where they would put these beggars. At a spot where everybody knew there was a beggar outside the temple. There were some at the gates. They each had their own spots. It's almost like an assignment that they had put them in. So blind Bartimaeus was in his assigned spot they had projected on him. This is your spot. This is where you are to be. But as soon as he began to hear, everything shift, the ground tremble, and he began to know, who is coming? It's Jesus. And he began to cry. He began to express his need. He began to express how much he wanted to change.
Yeah.
I want to change in my life.
Yeah.
He expressed that to Jesus. And even it's amazing because the crowd said, shut up. People around us said, be quiet. You're going to bother him. He's trying to express, but they're trying to keep on projecting him in the spot where he's at. People are going to try to keep you in the spot where you are at because they don't want to see you raise up. They want to keep you in that projected spot because they got you in their thumb. They know where you're at and they know who you are at all times. But that's not who God has called you to be. Sorry, this fan is kicking my notes everywhere. But it's amazing because in verse 49... it tells you, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, he is calling you. Amazing how people switch on a dime, isn't it? Oh, hey, Jesus is calling, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead. Amazing, isn't it? But it's letting you know, when Jesus says something, it's got to change. It doesn't matter what everybody's trying to project. When Jesus calls it, says what it is, tells it to come here, tells it to go away, it must change because he has raised a standard against that. There is no sitting right there at the gate anymore. There is no being a beggar. Verse 50, and throwing off his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Now, not only did they put him in a projected spot that they were putting on him, but in those days, they would make him wear a garment as well to show their affliction that they had. Remember, the lepers had to say unclean. The woman with the blood had to, with the issue of blood had to say the same thing. Unclean. They had to call out unclean. They had to call out their affliction. People had to wear their garments of their afflictions. That was projected onto them by the people, by the traditions of man. And the thing was, is each one of those people who had it, they accepted it. Blind Bartimaeus accepted his spot, and he accepted his garment. At that time. But when he met Jesus, when he heard Jesus was coming and he knew he could make a change in his life, he threw it off. He got up from his spot where he was projected to sit and he threw off the garment he was projected to hold and carry. We must throw off the weights of sin. These things that hold us down, we must throw them off. They cannot bind us anymore. Amen. Jesus asked, what do you want me to do? The blind man answered, Master, I want to see. You're done right now. Everybody in this room, you're done. And everybody on Facebook, you're done with what the world has called you to be. You're done with it. I want you to be done with it. God wants you to be done with it. Because that's not who he has called you to be. He has overcome the world. He has called you an heir. He has called you his child. He wants you to be those things, not what the world has called you. And blind Bartimaeus is expressing, I want to see, I want to change. And Jesus told him, you may go, your eyes are healed because of your faith. Right away the man could see and he went down the road with Jesus. So not only is he healed, but he began to follow. It doesn't just stop when you throw off the chains of affliction, when you throw off the garments, when you get up from your projected spot. It doesn't just stop there. You must begin to follow Jesus. You must. When the woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd, she's expressing her need. But she's expressing it to Jesus. And she expresses it by reaching out and touching his garment. We must do the same. We must humble ourselves. We must express that to Jesus. We need you. How many people in here need Jesus? How many people want more than to reach out? Throw off those garments. Sometimes, many times people can put these things on you. You don't even know who they are. You could never talk to them in years. And yet somehow they remember the memory of you that's bad. And they pass that on to other people. They pass that on to people. And it's like they're sitting there trying to throw chains on you. They're sitting there throwing chains on you. And that memory is what people carry. And when you finally meet the person that they think that you are, because they can make up their own projection of who you are already. But when you meet them and you express that that's not who I am, they change. Because you're expressing Jesus to them. That's who I was. That's not who I am now. If you are the same person you were 3 years ago, there's something wrong. If you begin to hold on to things as unforgiveness that people have done to you, those are the garments that you're holding on to. You're projected to stay there until you break it. So right now we must begin to break things. We must cry out. We must begin to express what the world is trying to cave in on us right now. We need to express Jesus more than anything. He said, be strong and courageous. He has not given us a spirit of fear. Behold, he has overcome the world. What is out there right now, the spirit of fear, cannot overcome us. Right now, I want to tell everybody in here and everybody on Facebook, do not accept that spirit of fear. Reject it. Throw off the garment. Get up from your spot where you are at, because that's not who you are. That's not who God has called you to be. He's called you to be courageous and strong. So right now, we're going to do, if you're ready, right now, we're going to do a small altar call. If you're ready right now to break those things that people have called you, those chains that people have put on you, those afflictions that people constantly talk about you with, the ones that they've left on you, the ones that you think about yourself, I want you to leave those right now. I want you to leave those at your seat. And if you're on Facebook, I want you to leave those wherever you're at. And I want you to either stand up or come to this altar, because we're ready to get rid of them right now. My apologies, may I have everybody stand? Okay, hold on. We have a word right now.
So I have received a word from the Lord, and I have been receiving it since this morning. When we went into our prayer time, there's so many people who are so broken right now. They're broken, they're bitter, they're angry. And like my husband is saying, it could be stuff from years ago, and they're still carrying it. It's time to let go. It's time to let go. And something that I had seen, it said, people say, I can't figure it out. God says, I will direct your steps. I'm too tired. God says, I will give you rest. People say it's impossible. God says, all things are possible. People say, nobody loves me. God says, I love you. People say, I can't figure it out for myself. God's already got you. God's already got you in his hand. People say, I can't forgive myself. I can't forgive myself for the things I did and the things I did in my past. That was your past. God forgives you. People say, I'm not worth it. This isn't worth it. God says it will be worth it. People say, I'm not smart enough. God says, I will give you wisdom. People say, I'm not able. He says, I am able. People say, I can't go on. God says, my grace is sufficient. People say, I can't do it. God says, you can do all things. People say, I can't manage. God says, I will supply all your needs. People say, I'm afraid. God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. People say, I feel all alone. I'm lonely. I have nobody. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And when my husband says about projecting, if you're a human like me, people have said some pretty cruel things to you in life when you were small as a child. Even as you're growing up now, maybe you've been called ugly, fat, too skinny, dumb, pathetic, worthless, useless. That's not who God says you are. And I know, I feel it that there's people watching now. They're saying, that's me. That's me. God hears me. I've been asking him, God, give me a sign. This is your sign right now. This is your sign. Get up. Get up, because that's not who you are. Jesus didn't die on the cross for nothing. That's not who we are, what people say we are. We are who God says we are. So if you're tired of living with that, maybe you've been living with that since you were a child, get up and get free right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen, amen. So right now, Tina, if you could play Come to the Altar, please. So right now, I'm going to have you guys come to the altar to get set free right now. Those of you on Facebook, you could just pray with us. Just pray with us right now. If those of you who seek to receive Jesus in here, if you want to seek Jesus as your Lord and Savior, come to this altar right now. If you're on Facebook right now live and you want to accept Jesus as your Savior, then be with us right now. We're gonna pray for both things right now. Father God, we praise you and thank you right now, Father. We just ask for those on Facebook, Father, that are watching who seek to receive you as a Savior, Father. We just ask that they begin to repeat, Jesus, I am a sinner. Be merciful to me. Come into my life. I make you my Lord and Savior. And those of you on Facebook, if you prayed that, get ready because God is going to do something great in you right now. You've just opened the door to break the projections of what people think, and now you're allowing Jesus in to project who or to actually express who you really are. Now, for those of you on Facebook and those at the altar right now, we're coming to God right now, and we're going to praise him and thank him for who he has called us to be, not what the world has projected. We're coming against that right now. So, Father, we just praise you and thank you for who you are and how great you are, Father. For awesome are you, Father. Your integrity, your honor, your glory is unmatched. Father, there is no one greater than you, Father. For the heavens are your dwelling place and the earth is your footstool, for it cannot contain the full glory of God. Father, we come to this altar right now and we lift you up, Father. We lift up who you have called us to be. Those right here and those at home right now, Father. We just praise you and thank you for them coming to you right now. And these at the altar coming to you right now, lifting up who you have called them to be, Father. Not what the world has called us to be. Not what the world is trying to project onto us, a spirit of fear, Father. We come against that right now in the name of Jesus, Father. Right now at the altar and at home, right now we put on the belt of truth and the body armor of your righteousness. For peace, we put on the shoes that come with the good news, Father. Above all, we hold the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil that he is trying to shoot into our minds right now, Father, to hold us to these projections. We hold that shield of faith up, Father, above all. We put on salvation as our helmet, and we carry the sword of the Spirit, Father, that is your word and who you say we are, Father. You've called us to be blessed. You've called us to be righteous because of you, Father. You've called us to be an heir, Father. You've called us friend, and we praise you and thank you for that, Father. Father, right now, those in agreement right now, we just release. We just release those projections, Father. Those chains, those weighted sins that have been put on us, Father. We just release them right now in Jesus' name. And it's for your glory, Father, not for our own, Father. Now we say amen, Father. We can live for you, Father. We submit to you right now, Father. We want to be who you've called us to be. Reveal that to everybody here right now. Those are watching on Facebook, we ask for the revelation of it right now, Father, who you have called us to be. Be with us, Father. Bless us today, Father, for your glory and for your honor. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen, amen. Yes, my brother has a word. Okay.
But I get closer. The living mighty God says, I first loved you and I have chosen you. You are my children. My son came and he washed you with his blood so it could be fulfilled. The word of God said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on my sons and my daughters, for I will never leave you nor forsake you. And greater things than Jesus will you do if you have faith in what Jesus has done, because I first loved you. And God says, I will never leave you, for you are the temple of God. You've been bought with a price. You're no longer your own. Let me move. Let me use your hands. Let me use your feet. Let me be your voice for such a time as this. For the fields are white and the labors are few. The words that you have, for I have made you a river in the desert. You have living water. Just like Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for living water. Had you never thirsted in hell. Like the rich man who cried out to Father Abraham, send Lazarus to put his finger in a cool glass of water, for I'm thirsting in hell. Amen. But Father Abraham says, from here to there, you can't go and you can't come here. Then he cried out again, send him to my five brothers, send Lazarus to my five brothers, that they would do the Passover for a year. In case they die, they will be washed in the blood of that sacrifice, that lamb. But we thank you, Jesus, that you were the perfect sacrifice. And 2,000, 20 years ago, you washed us. You made us vessels worthy. We're no longer naked. You took all of our shame and all of our blame. And again, God cries out, I have forgiven you. What are you greater than me that you cannot forgive yourself? I first loved you. I gave the greatest thing I had in heaven, my son. For I so loved the world that you could be my vessels. Let me believe and drink of this living water and you'll never thirst in hell like the rich man. But we give you all the glory, God, because you've done it all. You have knocked on the door of our heart, that door that leads to heaven. He says, I've knocked on the door, you've opened it, and you let me in. Just like this morning, we supped with you, Lord. We remember what you did. You took all our shame, all our blame. You washed us in a garment of righteousness, and we give you all the glory, Father. But Heavenly Father, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind.
Amen.
We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, have your way.
Amen. So go ahead and stand with me as we'll close out in prayer. And I want you guys just to remember what every word that the Lord has spoken here today, and take that with you and carry it with you. And I want you to accept that. And I ask you, do you accept that? I ask you again, do you accept that? Amen. Amen. So, Father, we come to you right now, Father, and we lift you up again, and we accept, Father, what you have called us to be and the words that are spoken here, Father. For you have called us, Father, many things, Father, to be with you, Father, as an heir, Father. Also, you have first loved us, Father. We just praise you and thank you for how awesome you are, Father. And as we go from this place, Father, we go free, Father. We go free in what you have called us to be and not what the world has called us to be, Father. For that spirit of darkness tries to come in, Father, but you have raised a standard against it. And as we go out, Father, fully armored, Father, in heavenly armor, we enter this land. Father, we enter it, Father, and we know that it cannot come that it cannot come against us, Father. It may, but it will not prosper. Amen. So as we go from this place, we accept your words, Father. We just ask that you be with us, Father, as we bless you, Father, and we bless this day that you have given us. Be with us as we go from this place. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.